Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Have you ever gone outside into the mud while wearing socks? Do you go through daylight savings without ever changing clocks? Did you ever leave your laptop sitting outside by a tree? You might have ADHD. Did you chew on your shirt collar when you were a kid? Did you chew on a fly swatter once? I actually did. Do you space out on a book after page number 3? You might have ADHD. Did you cheer up a good friend because you love to make them smile? Do you solve a puzzle really fast? It takes others a while. Are you super entertaining and the life of the party?
Hello and welcome to the Holderness Family Podcast. It is our special series all about ADHD. Hi, I'm Penn Holderness, and I have ADHD. My lovely wife Kim and I wrote a book about ADHD that you can pre-order right now. It's called ADHD is Awesome. You can just Google that and it'll pop right up, or you can go to the website ADHDisAwesomeBook.com. In the three parts of this special podcast series, we're aiming to answer three big questions about a type of brain that is often misunderstood. Number one, what does ADHD look like? Number two, what's the best way to help someone with ADHD? And number three, what do I do with my ADHD? So in each part, we're going to have some music, we're going to have some fun facts, hopefully we'll laugh a little bit, we'll talk to a really smart doctor to get some answers, and then we'll check in with someone at the end to make sure I didn't miss anything. So part one, what does ADHD look like? To the untrained eye, ADHD looks like a kid cutting up in a classroom or an adult spacing out during a conversation. It looks like lost keys and wallets, forgotten chores, coffee mugs that you've left on top of a car and backed out of a driveway and they've broken. And because of all of that, sometimes ADHD looks like frustration and shame. When you're diagnosed with it, the diagnosis doesn't look good either, right? It's ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Imagine getting that as a kid. There's three negative words in there: deficit, hyperactivity, disorder. Now, there have been a lot of books written about this exact thing. Unfortunately, though, one big reason why ADHD continues to be misunderstood is because those of us with ADHD can't always follow these books. We learn differently from you. We need a ton of stimulation to get those facts, to make it from that page onto our quirky brains. Here's the good news. Once those facts make it up there, it can make a huge difference. In the research from writing my book, I came across a doctor named Marcy Caldwell. In my interviews with her, I noticed that she often explained the ADHD brain with imagery, using things like orchestras, light switches, and VIP dance parties to explain the ADHD brain. Something in my neurons came alive in hearing her talk about this. It really worked for me. Like, I could actually see, through her metaphors, I could actually see what ADHD looked like. And I was wondering why this worked for me. I asked myself, like, hang on, are people with ADHD maybe more visual learners? I Googled that exact question, and this popped up from attitudemag.com. In general, children with ADHD are right-brained learners. They prefer to learn visually by watching or doing a task in an activity-based, hands-on format, not by listening to lectures, practicing drills, or memorizing. Are we onto something here? Is this the best way for us to understand ADHD? To describe visually what it looks like? Dr. Marcy Caldwell runs the Center for ADHD, and her work is seen on the website adept.org, spelled ADDEPT.org. Hello again, Dr. Caldwell. It is always wonderful seeing your face.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's start with a fun fact.
It's a fun fact. Tricking you into learning something. It's a fun fact.
Dr. Caldwell, did you know that there are 100,000 miles of blood vessels in the brain, and the distance around the world at the equator is 24,900 miles, so your brain's blood vessels could go around the world four times?
I did not know that, and that is amazing.
So who's the doctor now?
Well, obviously.
So listen, I kid with Dr. Caldwell because we've gotten to know her through this book. And one of the reasons that we love having her on is that for this poor ADHDer running this podcast, the biggest leap that I have made in understanding has been through your metaphors, has been through the imagery that you provide when it comes to describing the ADHD brain. Do you agree with me that it's kind of hard to get that definition through regular medical books because the definition itself is a little bit ADHD?
Yes, for sure. I speak in metaphors and because I think in pictures, right? And that is very typical for ADHD folks as well, right? To think in pictures. So I'm glad that it's been helpful. But I think when we're presented with a whole bunch of verbal information, if we don't have something to root it to, it's really hard to kind of figure our way through it. And particularly for an ADHD brain, it's just kind of this flood of words coming at us, and we don't really have a way to kind of find a connection and a thread and a way through it.
Okay, Marcy is going to take us on a visual journey. I love this because she does a good job of this. Even in a podcast, you're going to be able to imagine things, okay? And let's start our journey in the prefrontal cortex, where I have learned is where all of the executive functioning is kept, like the ability to focus from one place to the other.
Yeah. So executive functions are often what we think of as really kind of one of the core differences with ADHD. Our executive functioning is kind of like a conductor of our brain. So if you imagine our brain and all of its capacities as being like an orchestra, right? And every different capacity is a player in that orchestra. Our executive functioning is the conductor of that big orchestra. That conductor is the one who says, okay, you go in, you start now, you stop, you get louder, you get softer, right? That is the executive functioning. And so another way that we've talked about this is as being, you know, the dimmer switches on the mixing board. And so if we think of the ADHD brain as being this whole big board of on-off switches or dimmer switches, right? When the conductor gets tired, he's less able to kind of do all of his jobs. So that dimmer switch then becomes that on-off switch.
Interesting, because in that same metaphor, I love it because I'm a musician and it makes sense. But when you are stuck in that ADHD world where it goes from being a dimmer to an on-off switch, that conductor probably does a good job conducting a mean solo if that's the only thing that's going on. Like if it's just the violin player.
Yeah, because, you know, if it's just a violin player, then it can just hone it. It doesn't need that much energy. And this is, you know, something that I like to work with folks on as they're trying to figure out how to kind of work their life for their brain, right? That there are going to be times of your day when that conductor has more energy and is able to manage the whole orchestra quite well. And then there are going to be times of your day when you're not as able to, and that conductor is tired and it needs to really only hone in on the violinist. So how can we kind of orchestrate things to make it so that he can do that?
What is dopamine and why is it so important to us?
So dopamine is a neurotransmitter. One way that we think of ADHD brains is having a dopamine diffusion deficiency, which really just means that the dopamine kind of doesn't travel between synapses as well. And when that happens, what it's basically doing is it's depleting that executive functioning supply. Again, this is where things get a little murky with the newness of the science. We can't make total and complete parallels. But when we don't have kind of enough in the system, then our executive functioning and regulatory supplies are really low. And we get really hungry for dopamine too. So an ADHD brain that has gotten depleted will go looking for dopamine. So it'll look for dopamine in food. It'll look for dopamine in sex. It'll look for dopamine in adventure, right? There's lots of places to look for dopamine, social media. And so the ADHD brain is often in that kind of hungry state, looking for more dopamine.
So what you just described there, going and looking for sex or food or something else, you're describing distraction, right? Which we are all privy to, some more than others. But what's your best explanation to why our brains are more distracted?
So the default mode network is a network of parts of our brain that work together when our brains are kind of quote unquote at rest, but actively at rest, right? So I like to call it recess brain. So it's kind of where our brains go when they don't have to do something, right? When they get to just kind of follow their own whims. And so they're kind of like, I want to go play on the swings right now. And now I want to go slide down the slide. And I want to go on the merry-go-round. They get to kind of just follow their whims wherever they want. We all have that network. And then we also have a network called task positive network, which is where we go when we're at work, when we're engaged in something and we're kind of actively pursuing a goal. So we have these two networks. Now, a neurotypical brain, when one turns off, the other one turns on, and they work in opposition. And so you kind of can't be in both at the same time. An ADHD brain doesn't work that way. And so when task positive comes on, that recess brain, that default mode network, doesn't turn off.
Really?
So, yeah. And so if you think about this, if you imagine dragging your kids, you know, first grade classroom desk and sticking it in the middle of recess and then telling him to sit down and like do a spelling test, right? It's not going to go so well.
I mean, that makes total sense. I have to reconcile that with some other things I've learned about ADHD, which is the hyperfocus, mm-hmm. right? Which is the on and off switch that we just talked about, right? Like you can, maybe it's because this is a network and not a specific thing. This is the overarching vibe of your head. But for me, yeah, when I get locked in on something, I'm pretty damn good at it. And Kim could come up and bring me lunch. And I love lunch, and I don't even know it's there because I'm so busy working on something. So how do those two theories live together, I guess?
Yeah, so we don't totally know. Mm-hmm. One theory is that while what I said is true, it's kind of true in degrees, right? And so while that default mode network is never totally turned off, it can get turned down by the task positive really getting turned up. The other idea is that there's a way in which ADHD brains compartmentalize. And so they could still be kind of being hit by all the stimuli, mm-hmm. but they're so kind of in the box of the thing that they're hyper-focused on that the other stuff isn't really kind of hitting the attention centers, but are instead hitting the sensory centers and not kind of making it up to attention awareness.
It definitely feels like my task positive network sometimes turns off and my default mode network never turns off. Mm-hmm. Right? Like it's just that just never goes completely away. I get what you're saying. Unless there is something that is so riveting to me and so important that I can focus on it. Just as important as people who support ADHD are people who support this podcast. And so we're going to let them talk right now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let's be honest. We've all had embarrassing BO moments. Like any time you have to speak in public, if you don't put deodorant on, it's like a different type of sweat. Ugh. And you and I did like a thing and I got done. And thank God I had a blazer on because it sort of masked it. But then I took it off and got in the car and it was just like...
There is a lot of pit sweat. Yeah. Fortunately, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is making it so none of us ever have to worry about that BO again.
Unlike certain other deos, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to control odor in a new way.
Lumi delivers outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet.
Lumi is a game-changing deodorant designed by an OBGYN.
Fast forward 6 years and her Whole Body Deo has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews.
How? Well, unlike certain traditional deodorants that try to mask odor with a fragrance, Lumi is formulated to stop odor before it starts. More like a pre-odorant.
I personally love that Lumi is baking soda free and paraben free.
You can choose from a variety of fresh, bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, or toasted coconut.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and free shipping.
As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code Holderness at LumiDeodorant.com.
That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit Lumi Deodorant and use code Holderness.
And it's Lumi, L-U-M-E. All right, you made it through that. Thanks for sticking around. Let's get back to the conversation. We're talking a lot about things going on around us, sensory information, right? And your theory is that we encode sensory information differently from the neurotypical brain, correct?
Yeah. So part of that is that ADHD humans have what we call a filterless processing style. I like to think of this as neurotypical brains kind of being like a VIP dance club. And
I'm just excited because we got a dance club now. We've got a new metaphor and it's a dance. So when first of all, I haven't been to a dance club in a long time, but I know that there's VIP areas where like they have red velvet and there's a bodyguard there. And then the rest of the bar, you got to wait with everybody else to get like a Stella.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yep.
Gotcha.
I have not been to one of these clubs in years either. Okay. So
it's our version. It's our Gen X version of a dance club. I'm excited about
exactly.
that. Very good.
Who knows? Maybe millennial dance clubs are different.
That's right. But,
so a VIP dance club, there's a bouncer at the door. He is saying like, you're important. You can come in. You're not important. You can't. So that bouncer is filtering the stuff that isn't supposed to be hitting the nervous system, whether that's kind of hitting the attention and awareness and thinking things through, or whether that's sensory information hitting. A ADHD brain, on the other hand, is more like an open air party, right? And open air parties are awesome, in my opinion, but they are vulnerable. They're vulnerable to the rain, to the wind, to, you know, a car driving by, blasting music, a dog running through, right? And anything that comes through hits it. There's a lot more fun. There's a lot more energy that happens in that outdoor party, but it's a lot more unpredictable. So we kind of always have to be mindful of that fact. It's getting bombarded by extra stimuli all the time. A lot of folks with ADHD have a lot of anxiety and often can get overstimulated as well.
There's also those perfect moments at an open air party where the weather's great and everything worked mm-hmm. out and everyone's having an awesome time.
Exactly.
What a great metaphor. Yeah. And meanwhile, yeah, honestly, I prefer the open air party to the VIP party.
Too.
And I think, maybe that's because I'm ADHD.
I mean, I prefer the open air party too, but I love ADHD brains.
All right. Why do we hate being bored? Why? Is it all the stuff going on around us? Is it because our default mode network is never turned off? Why do we hate being bored?
There's something that I call the optimal zone of stimulation. And if you imagine a normal curve, which just kind of looks like the hump of a camel, right?
Okay.
And that middle section, which we call as kind of two standard deviations from the mean, which so there's a center line and there's kind of two bands on either side.
Yep.
That is the optimal zone of stimulation for somebody with a neurotypical brain. They will get bored and be uncomfortable if there's too little stimulation going on, and they will be overstimulated if there's too much. for an ADHD brain, same shape, but it's much more narrow.
Got it.
And it tends to happen a little bit higher up on that graph. So they need more stimulation to kind of be optimally engaged, but then they can kind of tip over into overstimulated pretty quickly.
Tell me about overstimulation. Overstimulation, yeah. I know that's, you know, we're going to get into regulation and emotions here. I think, you know, I want people to hear about this because as an adult, I think we by nature learn to regulate by the time we're 50 in most cases. But I do remember having a lot of trouble regulating and getting overstimulated as a child.
And the truth is that even as adults, it's hard. While adults kind of learn to mask a lot of the difficulty with regulation and, you know, learn to often kind of avoid situations that are overstimulating and so forth, it's a real issue for adults as well. What happens is if you imagine that outdoor dance club, all the extra stuff is coming in. So you're really hearing and your nervous system is really getting hit with the impact of every sound and every thought and every sensory, like every tag on your shirt and every look that somebody gives you, right? All of that stuff is coming in. It's hitting the nervous system in a very true and real way. And that nervous system then starts to kind of get defended, right? It starts to feel under attack because guess what it kind of is? So it gets defended and it starts to kind of activate as if it's being attacked. And as it activates, our sympathetic nervous system gets activated and we get into this fight or flight mode. It floods our systems very quickly. And so that's part of why ADHD brains kind of tend to go from cool, calm, and collected to very much not cool, calm, and collected very, very quickly, right? Because this is all happening kind of under the surface of awareness. And then suddenly that final little drop is added to the pool and it's just like, oh my God, I can't handle it anymore. And it's a full flood.
I've had moments like that in my life. And I've remembered that no matter how hard I try, I lose control. That's the scariest part about ADHD to me. It helps me with those emotional situations when I remember that I'm wired differently from other people. But there are advantages to our wiring, right? While we're going down that road, while we're talking about the science of it, how is the way our brain is wired advantageous to us?
Yeah. So if we think about that, if we go back to that outdoor party, right? Mm-hmm. Here we have a system that is taking in all the things. And taking in all the things does a bunch of cool things. Yes, it overloads, but it also means that extra information is coming in, which means that extra information can be processed as we're trying to look for novel solutions, right? So a brain that goes A, B, C, D, right? A neurotypical linear brain, great, that's linear, that's wonderful, but a brain that goes A, X, P, Q, R, might be a little harder to follow for somebody else, but also it's going to cover different ground. And so this is part of where the creativity and the novel problem solving comes in. We see it as being very linked to the fact that it's not filtering out all this extra information. Another thing that comes from that is this kind of intuitive processing. Intuitive processing is happening more at kind of the quote unquote gut level, right? More at this kind of nonverbal level where we're kind of filtering through all this different information. A lot of it is nonverbal. That kind of verbal centers of our brain has a hard time saying, well, I made this decision because of X, Y, and Z, but it's still a very felt and informed decision, but it's happening at a different kind of more nonverbal level. And again, coming from the fact that all the little pieces of information are getting processed, as opposed to neurotypical brain that's kind of saying, well, A, B, and C are important, and therefore we're going to only pay attention to these, and we're only going to use our rational brain on these three things. And ADHD brain gets to use a lot more in its informational process.
You just described, in my opinion, the most important aspect of problem solving, which is the most important thing in getting a job. I know that people struggle in school with ADHD. I did too. I know that sometimes finding the right job or keeping a job that's not super stimulating to you can be difficult. And I get that too. But the way you just described it, finding creative solutions, I feel like everyone who I talk to who works for like a software company or anything, who's a consultant, I'm like, so what do you do? And they're like, oh, I do creative solutions. It's a pretty good skill for the workforce that we have out there right now.
It's a great skill. And it's one of the many reasons why it's important to have neurodiversity within a workplace. It's also important to go A, B, and C, right? It's also important to get things linear and be able to communicate things in this kind of very linear sort of way. But it's also really important to get some creative problem solving in. Our organizations run better when we have full breadth of neurodiversity and we get to be able to capitalize on the strengths of different types of brains and what they can bring.
I want to play a voicemail that we got. This is Heather, and she has the same problem I do.
Hi, this is Heather from Southern California. Was never diagnosed as ADHD as a child, but I've always had it and was diagnosed later in life. I'm just curious. One of the things that's very hard for me is to actually concentrate on what someone's saying if there's a lot of noise happening or other conversations like a party in a room. I'm just curious of any tips or tricks to help with that issue because I've been told that it's because of my ADHD.
Okay, before you answer the question, Heather, I have an entire video on how to fake your way through listening to something. That's not a good answer, okay? But basically, if like for me, this is my tip and trick. If you're like midway through a conversation and you realize that you don't know what's going on, if you say, wow, that's crazy, that can mean a lot of things. That can mean, wow, I'm so happy for you. That can mean, wow, I'm so sad for you. Wow, I can't believe that. Usually it works. I'm sorry. I'm a horrible person, but that's my tip. Please help me, Marcy, with a better tip than, wow, that's crazy.
So this is a very normal phenomenon. And whenever there is a normal phenomenon for an ADHD brain and a situation that's going to kind of work against that normal phenomenon, then I always look to see, are there ways to augment that situation? Because I'm much more about changing the environment than we're not going to change the brain, right? And again, I don't want to change the brain.
Yeah.
ADHD brains are beautiful and we need them. How can we change the environment? And so one is, you know, there's the easy of like, do you need to be at that, you know, the huge party with all the noise? Sure, sometimes we need to be at that party. So are there ways to kind of, if you really want to talk to someone, can you draw them into the kitchen that's quieter? Or, you know, can you draw them into a spot that is quieter? Can you face a corner so that the person that you're talking to is standing in the corner and you're facing the corner and they're the only person that you see, right? We want to think about how can we filter out the stimuli. The primary stimuli are going to be noise and visual at a party. And so how can we get the person kind of more isolated so that we're only seeing them? How can we get it so we're only hearing them? There are earplugs too that are designed to filter out some of that extraneous noise. That would also be another way of kind of filtering some of that.
I'm just realizing something crazy. I was at South by Southwest a couple of weeks ago, and everywhere we went, there were people talking, and they were at these tiny little trendy places that were really loud. I already don't have great hearing because I was in a band, but even if my hearing was perfect, I had the toughest time at these places, and it was... I mean, I could hear the person in front of me, but there was so much competition. Mm-hmm. And I never really thought of it that way. Maybe my hearing's not that bad. Maybe I just need to tell someone, like, look, if you want to talk to me, we have to go somewhere else. And I don't know how, but I didn't make that connection to my ADHD brain.
Yeah, I think it's a perfectly reasonable thing to do, to kind of say to someone, like, I'm really interested in this conversation. I'm having a hard time hearing because of all the extra noise. Can we step outside for a moment? Yeah,
I feel like they would almost like that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, what warmer way of kind of saying I'm interested in you and what you have to say than that?
Yeah. Dr. Caldwell, tell us where people can find you and your fantastic metaphors.
Thank you. You can find me at adeptaddept.org. That is my blog and digital resource, or my practice is the Center for ADHD.com.
Thank you so much for helping us better understand the brain. And we will talk to you, what, tomorrow? We've been like, sorry, it's an inside joke because Dr. Caldwell has been helping us so much with our book.
I'm happy to talk to you any day and every day.
Well, that was fun. Let me ask the listener really quickly, do you feel like you have a better sense of what ADHD looks like? I also want to ask a friend, Anne-Marie Tapke. She is one of the producers of this podcast. She is my Midwest neighbor, if you've ever seen any of our videos where she pops up. She's very, very funny, and she also has a coworker with ADHD, which is me. So I wanted to ask Anne-Marie, did this help you understand what ADHD looks like when working with me? Hi, Anne-Marie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here.
Okay, one thing that I really liked about what Marcy had said, and she has such a beautiful way of illustrating things so that you can imagine them. I'm a kind of a visual person as well, so I really appreciate where she comes from with that. I liked the open air party concept. And the reason why I liked it is because I imagine an open air party has live music, maybe there's food trucks, maybe there's yard games. And I feel like working with someone who has ADHD in a creative sense, sometimes you have to be okay with like bouncing around to those different activities. There's times you need to focus on one thing, but like for the most part, you should explore the space with them and you need to balance the times when you need to focus and the times when you just need to like go on the journey. Sometimes yeah. That's where like the creative inspiration comes.
Yes. That was a very nice way of you to say that like I am all over the place. And that it can be good, but I'm sure it's not always great. I'm sure at some point you're like, okay, you want to put a lasso around me and rein me in a bit and say, bro.
Yeah, there's days like that for sure, especially when we have to get something done and you want to go to, you know, the yard games or the food truck. And I'm like, Penn, we have to stay at the concert right now. But I think it's also made me a better collaborator, even with people who are neurotypical, because you have to sometimes just like appreciate someone's perspective and their ideas, and you have to just say yes and like an improv exercise and go with them. And sometimes it's better than what you even thought it could be.
Okay, thank you so much for listening to part one of our special series all about ADHD. Hope you enjoyed it. Part two is coming next week. And to help you remember what you just heard, here's a rap song summarizing this podcast.
ADHDers are hard to explain. Did you know that most of us learn with our right brain, which means we learn better with visual cues? Here's a bunch of imagery that you can use. Our brains are kind of like an on and off switch, okay? We have one thing to do and we can absolutely slay. But add all of the things in a very busy day, you get distracted and you move to one thing and the other thing goes away. Because the other things, they never stay in your working memory, okay? Our brains are also like an open-air party, not like a normal brain, bougie VIP. The party's super hype, everybody is excited, because there's lots of stuff to see, because everyone is invited. It can lead to creativity, that is pretty great, but there's so much going on that you can overstimulate. It's why it's so important that we learn to regulate. And once we learn to do all of that, ADHD will totally dominate. It will totally dominate.
And you know what? You dominate. If you are listening to this podcast and you have the same kind of brain as I do, I'm telling you, the sky is the limit. Step one, understanding what it is that you've got, right? And hopefully that just happened now. Step two, next week, we're going to talk about partnering with ADHD. That's not just how a partner can support someone with ADHD, but also how someone with ADHD can support that partner. Both sides are equally important. See you next week. Thanks so much.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.